Amen. I want you to listen to a passage. It is also found in 1 Timothy. We've looked at it several weeks back. Here's what Paul says. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Paul says in this book that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. A lot of people, when they are going to look at churches or look for a church for themselves and search out churches, there are a lot of things often that they look at. Yeah, how nice is the building? How friendly are the people? How far is the church from my home? How good is the music? Do they have a youth department? Do they have a children's department? How nice is the nursery? And based on these issues, they will often choose a church. Now, those issues, all the things that I just mentioned, are important issues. But they all fall short of the most important issue. And that is, what does the church do with the truth? And is the truth being presented? And is the truth the foundation for what that church does? And is the truth the central thing that they're involved in? And some churches, when it comes to the truth, they are far off, but they got all those other things right. And some people, when it comes to the truth, will often say, you know what, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as, you know, I'm happy, or as long as I'm satisfied, or as long as I'm loving. And some people will come to the truth and they'll kind of get off in tangents and set the same balance when it comes to the truth. But understand this, the truth is what matters. Because all that we do, all that we think, all the things that we have as an attitude, they all relate to what we believe and what we see as the truth. And if our life is not founded in the truth of God's word, then our entire life, from what we believe to what we do to our attitudes to how we think to what our ethics are, they will all get off course. And ultimately will lead us astray from following God's word and God's truth. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So I want us to look at the last two verses of 1 Timothy. And with these last two verses, it will complete what we've been doing over the last several months, and that is studying the book of 1 Timothy. And in these last two verses, I believe there are three things we need to be doing, or we need to know. And the first is this, we need to guard the truth. We need to guard the truth. Notice verse 21. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. It's the first command in this passage, guard what has been entrusted to your care. The word guard here is the same thing that you would think of when you think of the word guard. It means to be a watchman or to protect something. You can imagine maybe being a guard at a bank, and your job is to watch and make sure that, you know, someone's not going to come in with a gun and try to rob the bank. Or if you remember back in the old cowboy and Indian days, they used to have a guard, you know, at the front of the fort to make sure no one was climbing over the wall or coming in through the gate. The idea of this word is simply to guard, to protect, to watch over. Now notice here, it tells Timothy, Paul does, God through Paul. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to guard that which has been entrusted to you. So the action required is that of guarding. And then notice the subject of the action. What has been entrusted to you? Now, all of those English words are really just one word in the original language. And the word means that of goods that have been placed in your trust, a deposit. In fact, it is a banking term, and when it's used in the area of banking, it denoted when you would deposit money in the bank, and it was the bank's responsibility to guard or watch over your money. Have you ever noticed that probably 9 out of 10 banks are always built with brick? You don't normally see banks built with wood. They're usually built with brick and concrete and all that kind of stuff. Why do they do that? They do that because they want to make sure that as you look at that bank, you believe that your money is secure. We have the responsibility to guard that which has been put into our care, a deposit. We are the watchmen. We are the guards. We are to protect that which was entrusted to us. Now, you might ask, what was entrusted to Timothy and also to us? What is that thing that he is to guard? Well, let's let the Bible tell us what Paul is talking about here. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 10. Well, actually, let's begin in verse 8. We know that the law is good, that is the Old Testament word of God that made up the law, if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers, rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill the fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he has entrusted to me. So notice in the beginning of this book, Paul says, look, he's talking about the law. He's talking about the word of God. Verse 10, he's talking about sound doctrine. And then at the end he says, and which has been entrusted to me. So what was entrusted to Paul? Well, it's the word of God. It's sound doctrine. It's the law. It had been entrusted to him. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So as Paul's given the very same command again, he's saying, guard that which has been entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, in chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, he said the thing that had been entrusted to him was the word of God, the Christian truth, the biblical truth of God's word, the gospel had been entrusted to him and has been entrusted to us. So that which has been entrusted, that which Timothy was to guard, was Christian truth, the word of God, the doctrine of Christianity, the gospel. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says that that the word of God was first entrusted to the Jews, but they were not faithful to it. And therefore, when they rejected Jesus Christ, they were set aside, and that is when God began to call both Jew and Gentiles as individuals to become part of the church of God. And now that doctrine, the truth that Paul has delivered, that Peter has delivered, that the Old Testament prophets have delivered, the foundation that we have in our hand, the word of God, Christian truth, has been entrusted to Timothy and now has been entrusted to us. So notice what we are to do. We are to guard this Bible that we hold in our hand. This truth, this Christian truth that God has given us, we are to guard it. We are to protect it. We are to be that guard, that protector, that watchman of the truth that has been entrusted to us. In fact, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul gives this very thought again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Said that directly to pastors. They had to watch how they live their lives, but they also had to watch what they preach, what they teach, what they believe, to make sure that it was based securely in the Word of God. And that is true of all of us. To make sure that our beliefs, that our thinking, that our foundational truths are based in the truth of God's Word. And therefore, we are to watch it, we are to guard it, we are to protect it. Now, we may ask this morning, how do we do that? How do we guard the Word of God? Isn't it the job of God to guard His own Word? Isn't it the job of the Holy Spirit to make sure that His Word is pure? And the answer is yes. But God also gives us that responsibility. And that is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy here in 1 Timothy 6. Timothy, guard what was entrusted to your care. Guard it. Watch over it. Protect it. How do we do that? Well, let me give you a couple ideas. First of all, we do that by actively opposing false teaching. We guard the truths of Christianity by actively opposing false teaching. In other words, whenever we see false teaching, we confront it, we oppose it, we call it what it is, that it is false teaching, that it goes against the truth of God's Word. Very thing that Paul sought to do. Again, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. So I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, stay here in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. In other words, when you see false doctrine, confront it. When you see false doctrine, stand up for the truth and confront the false doctrine and the false teaching. Last few weeks, you've heard me talk about prosperity theology and how that theology goes against the truth of God's Word. How some preachers want to say that if you come to Jesus, you're always going to be healthy, you're always going to be wealthy, and your life is just going to be great. Well, that's taking God's Word out of context. That's not seeing a balanced view of God's Word. That's taking some verses to the extreme and forgetting about other verses. And that is a very easy thing that can happen if you don't remain centered in the Word of God. You tend to emphasize some verses and kind of diminish other verses. And when you do that, you can get off and away from the truth. We have to take all of God's Word together. We have to remain a balanced view of God's Word. And these prosperity theology teachers do not do that. So they'll go to all the verses that seem to teach that, you know, everything's going to be great, and they forget all the other things. You know, when they begin teaching that you're always going to be healthy, I think of what Paul said in the book of Corinthians, that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, until we get our new bodies, we're going to groan. And there's going to be times in this life where in these bodies we're going to hurt and we're going to have pain and we're going to groan about these bodies because we want a new body. Paul himself talked about all the difficult things that he had gone through physically. So, you know, we have to watch when some of these preachers are kind of getting off balance and off a view, a proper view of God's Word. We need to take all of Scripture together and all of Scripture in context. Now, if we're going to oppose false teaching, then we need to, in order to do that, we need to know the truth. We need to know the Word. Titus 1:9 says that one of the qualifications of a pastor is that they know the Word. Why? So they can oppose false teaching. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in that which is not true. We need to know the Word. Number two, we need to properly use God's Word. Properly use God's Word. Not only must we actively oppose false teaching, but we need to properly use God's Word. Notice it's right here in chapter 1 again, 1 Timothy, verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. God's Word must be used properly. Taking everything in context, taking everything balanced, taking all verses together, correctly studying the Word of God so that we can rightly divide the Word of God. When we think of churches, it's expository and systematic preaching. Expository means verse by verse studying through the Word of God as we've been doing in 1 Timothy. Systematic teaching is taking Bible doctrines and systematically correctly going through those doctrines like we do on Wednesday nights very often. Discipleship. Where you take brand new Christians or young Christians or Christians who don't know a lot about the Word of God, and you bring them up in the truth and you give them a foundation for truth so that they have that foundation in the truth. See, we have to rightly come before the Word of God and we have to properly use it. Why is that so important? Because, you know, almost every day, someplace in America, there are cults knocking on your door. There are Jehovah's Witnesses, there are Mormons. And often when they come to your door, the thing they have in their hand is a Bible. And they're going to come to your door and they're going to say, we follow the Bible and we know the Bible. And when you talk to them, it'll seem like they know a lot about the Bible. The problem is they take God's word out of context. The problem is they don't correctly divide it, but they twist scripture to get it to say what they want it to say. And if you don't know the truth, this person who comes to your door, you're going to say, wow, they know the Bible so well. I'm going to go join with them. But the way to oppose false teaching is by properly using the truth and knowing the truth. As I've said so many times, if you go to a bank, the way they teach you to be able to see a counterfeit dollar is by showing you really well what a real dollar looks like. Some of you got $5 bills, those new $5 bills that just came out. And the other day in Sunday school, I think it was, Martin was showing his brand new $5 bill. And everyone kept saying, that's fake, that's phony. It's not a real $5 bill. But if you hadn't seen the commercial that they were putting out new $5 bills, it does look fake and phony. But it is the new $5 bill so that people cannot counterfeit it. So a lot of people come to God's word and they say, I can't understand. That's too hard for me. Prophecy's too hard for me. It confuses me. That area of God's will is, or God's word is just too difficult. It's beyond my understanding. And we almost kind of say to ourselves, it's better to be ignorant. But realize when you're ignorant of God's word, it's easy for that which is not true, that which is false, to come into your life and pull you away from the truth. The way to oppose false teaching is by properly using the word of God. So when those who come and they improperly use God's word, you can recognize it, you can see it. And then there's a third thing. We need to be obedient to God's word. We need to be obedient to God's word. So we do it by opposing false doctrine. We do it by properly using God's word. And we do it by being obedient to the word of God. Now let me ask a third question. Why do we have to guard the truth? Again, if it's God's word, God is guarding it. And it absolutely is true. God is guarding his word. But, you know, why do we as human beings have to guard Christian doctrine and guard the truth? Well, come back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want us to notice again the phrase that is used. He says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Why do we have to guard the truth? We have to guard the truth because God has entrusted it to us. God has entrusted the truth to us. Therefore, we have a responsibility to guard it. We went down on Friday to visit Amy at Liberty University because she had a senior piano recital. And as we were going down, Amy called her mother and said, will you bring down Jarrett's wedding ring with you so he can try it on and make sure it fits right for the wedding? And she said to her mother, but make sure you don't lose it. And then she called me and said, Dad, Mom's bringing down Jarrett's wedding ring. Make sure she doesn't lose it. In other words, she was entrusting her future husband's wedding ring to her mother's hand and wanted to make sure that she was faithful to that trust. Well, her mother was. And we got down there and we were eating lunch before Amy's recital, and he went to try it on, and of course it didn't fit. So we have to get a new ring because his wedding ring does not fit. But she was faithful to that trust. You know, God has entrusted us with the Word of God. He's entrusted this church with the Word of God. He's entrusted every Christian church with the Word of God. He has entrusted you as an individual with the Word of God. Therefore, we need to oppose false teaching. We need to properly use God's Word, and we need to be obedient to God's Word. But not only do we need to guard it because we have been entrusted with it, but we need to guard it because of the presence of wolves. We need to guard it because of the presence of wolves. You know, the only reason they hire a bank guard with a gun and everything goes with it and that suit that he has to wear inside the bank is because of the reality of bank robbers. The only reason they have armored cars to take money from bank to bank and guards with those armored cars is because the reality that there's the possibility someone will try to steal it. The reason we need to guard the truth is because there's so many wolves. And the wolves are trying to distort the truth. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 20. That's why it always concerns me when we see Christians who do not believe the church is important, who say they don't need the church, who say they're just going to grow on their own and learn on their own. Well, realize there's an awful lot of wolves out there, and you may not always recognize the wolves. And the purpose of a pastor, at least one purpose of the pastor, is to protect the sheep. That's why a pastor is called a shepherd. His job is to protect the sheep from all the false doctrine and all the wolves that are out there with all of their false doctrine. And that's exactly what Paul tells pastors to do. Notice Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's speaking to a bunch of pastors in the city of Ephesus. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arrive and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Same thing he's telling Timothy. And why don't you notice what these verses are saying? Paul's saying to these pastors, he says, look, savage wolves, false teachers, they're going to come in and they're not going to spare the flock, meaning the believers, the church members. And they're going to come in and they're going to distort the truth to draw away disciples after them. And notice also he says, not only are they going to come from the outside, but he says, even from your own church, people will rise up to distort the truth. So false teachers come from outside the church, and they even come from inside the church. So what is a pastor to do? Well, notice he says, be on your guard. Protect them. Watch them. Be on your guard. Because God has entrusted this church to me. Therefore, I have to guard that which has been entrusted to me. Pastors are to be on their guard and watch out for false teaching, whether it comes from outside the church or whether it arises from within the church. And both of those things have happened in the history of the church. Not necessarily our church, but in the history of the church as a whole. False doctrine, false teaching. That's why we need to be on our guard. So notice, firstly, we need to guard the truth. I want you to notice, secondly, we need to turn away from false doctrine. Go back again to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn away from false doctrine. Verse 20 again. First part of verse says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Then notice the second part of verse, turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Again, notice the action required. This time we're turning away. Before we're guarding and standing our ground, this time we are turning away. When this word is used as a medical term, it means to be dislocated or pulled out of the joint. If you've ever seen someone have a dislocated shoulder, this Greek word would be used to describe that. Has the idea, as you can imagine, and it's a strong word, Paul's saying, look, turn away from false doctrine, turn away from false teaching. Stay away from it. It's the very same thing he said back in chapter 1. We read in verse 3 and 4. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 7. It says, have nothing to do with godlessness and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Have nothing to do with false teaching. Turn away from it. And I want you to know there are so many places to get it these days. And the internet's a great place where you can learn an awful lot, but I'll tell you what, there's an awful lot of garbage on the internet of all kinds. And some Christians are going out and they're searching the internet, and if a site says Christian or even gives the resemblance of being Christian, people are thinking, well, it's Christian, must be good stuff. Beware. certainly plenty of it going on television and radio and in books that you can read. Beware. Notice here Paul gives two phrases to describe the false teaching. First word here is godless chatter. Godless chatter. It is an interesting word. Has the idea of a threshold. You know what a threshold is? If you have a doorway, the bottom underneath the doorway is the threshold. The threshold is a place where, you know, people would be stepping on as they're getting in your home. It's something that is common, not something that is set apart or holy. So the word gives the idea of that which is common or irreligious, something that is profane, something that is not as set apart for God, something that is not as holy. So it has the idea of irreligious, godless. Notice the second word is the word chatter. The chatter speaks of useless words. Useless words, empty talk, foolish discussion. So he's talking about things that are irreligious and foolish. Stay away from those kinds of things. The second phrase here is that which is falsely called knowledge. The word literally means contradiction. The ideas that are falsely called knowledge, those ideas are contradictions. They are anything that would stand in opposition to the truth, anything that would stand in opposition to the Word of God. Notice they are falsely called knowledge. It's not real biblical knowledge, it's not real biblical truth, but it is called knowledge, but it is false. Why? Because they are contradictions. They contradict God's truth. They contradict that which is true to Christian doctrine. Such knowledge was supposed key to the mystery religions. And ultimately in the second century, it ended up in a doctrine called Gnosticism. These are kind of pre-thoughts of that. Romans chapter 1, it tells us that people rejected God. And they thought they would be wise by rejecting God, but they actually became foolish through the rejection of God. False teaching is anything that contradicts the Word of God. And Paul says, look, we need to turn away from it. You know, some people are all caught up in reading all the books about all these different theories and philosophies out there. And there's a point at which it's, you know, we need to have some of that knowledge so we know how to deal with it and we know where people are coming from. But if you spend all your time in the Word of God and digging into God's truth, you'll be able to recognize that stuff. You'll realize it when it comes your way. If you have a solid foundation in the Word of God, turn away from that stuff. You know, there's almost only so much stuff you can pack into our brain. Only so much stuff we can kind of hold in there. Fill it with the truth of God's Word. Fill it with all the truth you can find in God's Word. I would also say beware of reading a lot of books about the Bible so that you don't read much of the Bible. Books about the Bible can be very helpful, and commentaries, things like that, can help us understand the Word of God. But don't read so much of that stuff that you're not reading the Bible itself. Turn away from false teaching. And then thirdly, be aware of the danger of false doctrine. Be aware of the danger of false doctrine. I want you to notice the action taken. You notice in the other first two, I said the action required. In this case, it's already been done, so it's the action taken. Notice verse 21. He says, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. The action taken is that some people have already within the church professed false doctrine. The church members in Ephesus, where Paul is pastoring, where this letter is being written to, Paul says, look, some there have already professed this false doctrine. The word profess means to announce something openly and emphatically. It's the same idea of professing Christ. In this case, you're professing false doctrine. So you've openly and emphatically said, look, I believe this stuff. I believe this stuff. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm convinced of this stuff. I believe it. It's knowledge. It's right. Some have professed this, Paul says. But notice the result. The result of what happens when you profess false doctrine, in so doing, have wandered from the truth, have wandered from the faith. The faith being spoken of here is not my faith in God, but it is the object of faith that refers to the truth of God's word itself. In other words, if you get all caught up in false doctrine, if you get all caught up in false truth, if you get caught up in twisting scripture, then the ultimate thing that is going to happen is you're going to wander away from the truth. You're going to wander away from that which is right, from that which is true. To go astray, to depart from the truth, has the idea of abandoning the truth and walking away from it. Paul said the same thing back in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Says the same thing in chapter 4, verse 1 and 3, how false doctrine, even things taught by demons, have caused some to wander from the truth. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and bring the way of truth into disrepute. So you say, well, what will happen when we see all kinds of false teaching, false doctrine? Notice it says, many are going to follow their shameful ways. Many are going to believe their lies. You know, you could often see these groups, and their numbers are large, and their numbers are growing. And some people sit back and say, well, they must be right because they're so big. No, they're probably wrong. The question is not how big they are. The question is not their music. The question is not their building. The question is, what do they do with the truth? Are they faithful to it, or are they twisting it? Are they faithful to it, or are they taking it out of context? Are they faithful to it, or are they teaching that which is contradictory to the truths of God's word? That's the question. Realize that false doctrine is destructive. What we believe can be very harmful. It can cause us to turn away from the truth. But understand, it is always portrayed as truth. You're never going to have someone walk up to your door, a preacher stand in a pulpit and say, I want you to know what I'm teaching goes against the Bible. Just don't do that. The Bible says that when these men stand up or these women stand up, they are false apostles and they look like angels of light. They masquerade as angels of light. They try to portray themselves as truth. So we need to be discerning. We need to be able to see it. We need to be able to stand opposed to it. We need to be able to see that error when it comes our way. You know, I could even think in the last 26 years of people in our church who've maybe made a profession in this church and proved to be false, who have maybe been coming to our church for a long period of time and get caught up in false doctrine, get caught up in the cults. And there are a number of things in this world that are probably sad, but I think one of the saddest things is to see people walk away from the truth. Walk away from that which is biblical. Walk away from that which is right. I'm not talking about just changing churches, but I'm talking about when you just pull away from the truth that is as it is found in the Word of God, and you go on to believe a lie, you go on to believe in false doctrine. We have been given a trust, and we must prove faithful. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let some false teacher, some false teaching grab you and convince you of that which is contrary to the word of God, convince you that is right, so that you pull away from the truth and you begin to follow error and ultimately abandon the truth. Don't let it happen to you. Let's pray.